Please grab your Bibles. If you could please stand with me. Turn to the Gospel of John. We're in the 8th chapter. As we return to the chronological ministry of our Lord and Savior, or the ministry of our Lord in a chronological fashion, we find ourselves in John's Gospel in the 8th chapter. We're going to pick it up in the 12th verse, and we're going to read a number of verses all the way down to verse 31 or 32 there, and see what the Lord has for us this morning. John, of course, you know, the beloved of Christ, we know that because he's the one that told us that, and he, moved by the Spirit of God, records for us here in verse 12 of chapter 8, and then he says, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And the Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. And Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. I also, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, where is your Father? And he answered, you know neither me nor my Father, for if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words he spoke to them in the treasury as he taught them in the temple, and no one could lay hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Excuse me. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin, for where I go, you cannot come. And then the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where you go, where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, you are from beneath, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. If your Bible has the word he there, it's italicized. When you get a minute, cross it out. It shouldn't be there. Jesus said on purpose, for if you do not believe that I am. Then Jesus said to him, then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say to you and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. And then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but I, as my Father taught me, I speak these things. He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And he spoke these things, he spoke these words, and many believed in him. Father, we thank you for the scriptures this morning. We thank you, God, for the privilege of being able to worship you, of being able to worship you through song, and now through the word. And we pray that you would capture our hearts and minds now, that you would not let them drift, but you would keep them in your word. Bless us, Lord, as we find comfort in your word, and we also find the challenges that you lay before us. We thank you, God. Minister to us now by your Holy Spirit. To you be the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Please be seated. Good morning to you. Glad that you're here. If you're here for the first time, we have been going through the Gospels for a little while now, and we are going to finish the Gospels. So the rapture will probably happen before that. Praise the Lord. We've been in it a while, and we will be in it a while. And we stepped out of the Gospels for a period of time, indeed for 2 weeks, because we wanted to look at the triumphal entry and then the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord, Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, and that moved us forward probably about 8 to 10 months. Now, we step back to where we were in our chronological order of things, and We just want to then remember where Jesus was and what he was doing. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. The Lord had come to the feast. Remember, while the Lord was there teaching up on the Temple Mount proper, a number of religious leaders brought to him that woman caught in adultery. And you remember they threw her down in front of him and said, hey, we caught her in the very act. And, the law of Moses says we're to stone her. What do you say? And then Jesus begins to write in the dust of the floor of the Temple Mount floor there. And then they all leave one by one from the oldest to the least. And Jesus says to the woman, where are your accusers? And there are no accusers, she says, Lord. And Jesus says, neither do I accuse you. You're not condemned now. Go and sin no more. And the beauty of what we saw there, you always want to put Jesus between you and religion and, put Jesus between you and religion. You also want to put Jesus between you and God's holiness, right? And so, you put Jesus between you and God's holiness, and then you receive Jesus as your Savior, then God says, I will love you through Christ, and you can experience the holiness of who I am. Additionally, you put Jesus between you and religion because religion will just condemn you. That's all religion can do. It just condemns us. I grew up a good Catholic boy. I was an altar boy for a number of years and, about 4 years. And during that time, I had deep questions about life. I was just a little guy, but I had questions and I knew I wasn't getting them. And it bothered me deeply. And I'd go across the street on the way home. There was a little white church there, and it had Hebrews, chapter 2, how should we neglect so great a salvation? And I'd read the word salvation and go, what does that mean? What does that word mean? I've never heard that word before. And, there God doing his thing. But all that Catholicism could do for me was tell me I was guilty and that I was in big trouble. And I knew there was a heaven, and I knew there was a hell. But I wasn't told anybody could get me there. And so I had this deep, deep belief that I was guilty of sin. God was going to come get me one day, and boy, was I in trouble. That's called religion. It doesn't get you to where you need to go. It's a law, but it won't get you to where you want to go. And then we come here now to Jesus. He's on the Temple Mount now. The Feast of Tabernacles is over, and Jesus is teaching. Remember now, during the Feast of Tabernacles, what they would do in the court of the women, in the treasury, they were located in the same place there on the Temple Mount, is they would light these big, massive candelabra sort of things during the Feast of Tabernacles. And the light would literally light up sections of the whole city. You could see them for a long ways away. Very bright, very beautiful. And it was all part of that tabernacle experience, that tabernacling, tenting, dwelling in the wilderness, God's faithfulness. There was the light during the night and the cloud during the day leading the Jews and so on and so forth. And that was what those candelabras were supposed to represent. And on the last day, they would then blow those out, put those all out. And Jesus, I think he is standing right at the location of where those lamps were. Big massive lamps out now, and it's the day after the last day of the feast. And then Jesus stands up and he says, I am the light of the world. Now, look, the way that it's said in the Greek, it's this way. I am the light, the only light, the one and only light in contradistinction to all other lights in the world. That's what Jesus is saying. He's not saying, I'm a light along with another light and other lights, or I'm a light along with all other lights. He says just the opposite. He says, I alone and no other, me alone am the light of the world. And I think all of the Jews, here's this whole this whole adultery scene, how brutal that must have been. There's this woman, you're watching all that happen. You see the religious leaders leave, and then that kind of happens, and then everybody kind of regathers. They kind of regather. Let's get back to the Lord. And here comes your religious leaders, maybe others. There were lots of them. And now they come, and now they're listening. And as they're listening, Jesus says there in verse 12, I am the light of the world. This is the second of the seven great I Ams in the Gospel of John. The first one occurred in John chapter 6, verse 35, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He has fed the thousands at this point, and you know, they're coming to him, and he says, you're coming to me simply because you got a free meal. Well, I want you to know, I'm the bread of life. I am the bread of life, again, the only bread of life, the one and only place to get bread for life. It is me and me alone, in contradistinction to everyone else that says they have something to offer to you that will give you life. You see, these are the great I Ams. I am, I am, I am, I am. Jesus says that so much. That's the tetragrammaton, you know, the great I am. Moses, when he was with God and God was commissioning to Moses, go to the Jews there in Egypt, tell them I'm going to set them free. And Moses asks the right question, which is, who do I tell them sent me? And God says to him, you tell them I am has sent you. And Moses said, is there anything else? You know, and that I am, not I was and I will be, not that I can be or I should be, not that I was once and I was back there. God's like the ever-present, constantly present God. He is always constantly present. He is never late. He's never early. He's always right on time. Everything about God is right now. And if you were alive 100 years ago, God was right now in your life. And he's right now today. And 100 years from now, if God should tarry, and I don't think he will, you'll see that God is still the great I am. He's always right there, right on time. And Jesus said, I'm the same. And when he says, I am, he means to use that title, I am. And you see, Jesus in John records for us these great I Ams. And Jesus says here to the crowd, I am the light of the world. And he is saying to them, listen, I'm the light in the darkness. I am the light in the darkness. I am the one who will lead you through the darkness. No one else can lead you through the darkness. There is no other light that you can trust in the midst of the darkness. You see, this is the thing. We live in a dark world. I remember years ago being in the military, and I was in the Black Forest of Austria. It was so dark. I remember putting my hand in front of my face as a young guy, 19 years old. I couldn't see my hand. And I said to myself, wow, is it dark here? It's so dark. And you know, at that time in my life, I was lost. I was lost in the darkness of life. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know who to trust. I knew what religion said, and it's just that beggarly statements of religion. All they can give you is this beggarly version of some echo of truth, of some echo of reality, of some mystery that's out there. And you see, there I stood in the forest and I thought, I'm lost. It's darkness. You see, the Lord comes along and he says, I'm the light. I'm the only light. I'm the light that'll lead you through the darkness. And you and I, we live in such a dark world, you know. We live in such a dark place. And, you know, even the psalmist, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I may not have come in contact with death, but I saw its shadow. The shadow, it'll put you into darkness. It'll take away the light. You say, Lord, I'm in darkness now. And you see, here comes Jesus, and he says, know this, I am the light of the world. And if you turn back with me to John's Gospel, there, chapter 1, just to review here, this truth, I am the light of the world. Look at John chapter 1, verse 3. This is one of the first things that John says about Jesus. It's beautiful. He says here in chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then he talks, you know, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, speaking of John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. This is the light of the world. This is Jesus who's come into the world. It's the psalmist that writes and he says, Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We didn't do very good there. I think only about maybe 10% of us got that. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. There we go. It is that light unto my path, O Lord. Your word, O Lord, your word, you are the light of the world. You see, in Jesus, he comes and he says, I am the light. It's fascinating to me. For those of you that care, write down 2 Corinthians 11 and look at verse 4 where Lucifer is described that he's such a deceiver that he can deceive people and become as if he is an angel of light. He's the counterfeiter. He'll come right alongside you and pretend to be that light. But remember that he is not the light. He is the deceiver. And we live in a dark world. And he brings deception in the midst of the dark world. And there we are walking, you know, there we are. And we need the light of the world. We need Jesus in our lives. And when Jesus says this in verse 12, look all the way over to chapter 9, verse 5, because this is kind of one constant message that there's a little interruption at the end of chapter 8, and then in chapter 9, he heals the blind man. But to the blind man, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You see, the guy's blind. He can't see. And Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. You see, it's this constant running message. And in that message, spread throughout that message, Jesus says periodically, I am, I am, I am. He does it so often that at the end of chapter 8, if you look at the end of chapter 8 there, you notice in verse 59, they, the religious leaders and whoever they could get worked up to follow him, took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out and so on and so forth. Because they're saying to him, you're claiming to be God. And Jesus there then declares straight up, I am the light of the world. I am the great I am. You see, there is only one light that will lead you through the dark world, that will lead you out of the darkness, in the midst of the darkness, and get you home safely. Jesus is like the proverbial lighthouse while your ship is in the darkness of a storm. And you come around and you see the lighthouse. And there you know if you follow the lighthouse, you'll get safe harbor. You'll arrive at safe harbor. And all of us, whether we like it or not, Christian, you are in the midst of the storm of this life. It is a stormy life. It is dark at times. And we need to follow Christ in Christ alone. Amen? You see, and so that's what Jesus is saying. It's a heavy thing he is saying. It's a serious thing he's saying. It's a crucial thing that he's saying. The religious leaders respond to it with something that is just odd to me. They say, well, not really odd, but it's just, here's Jesus. He's declaring, I'm the light of the world. I've come to save humanity. Me and me alone is the only one who can save humanity. And you're like, oh, aren't you just glad that there's a way to get saved? You know, God would save us? That God would save us? It's like the fellow that was teaching yesterday at the men's thing. You know, Ted, such a wonderful guy. What a command of the Word of God. Oh, my goodness. This kid's rattling off scriptures like he's a kid. He was 52. He's no kid. I think I'm aging. Anyway, of course I'm aging. But yeah, where am I going with that? He's quoting the Word of God, and I don't know where I'm going with that. So anyway, here now, the Pharisees, then they say to Jesus, you know, where's your witness? Where's your witness? This is kind of so to me. It just is, I'll translate that dull in a minute, but you know, it's so aggravating. You go, here's Jesus, he's on the Temple Mount, he's telling you the way to life, the way to eternal life. And the religious system, represented by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and so on and so forth, they come up and say, you're bearing witness of yourself. And they're bringing up a legalistic technicality. Are they right? Yes. For those of you that care, Deuteronomy 19:15, where it says you cannot bear witness of yourself. You have to have at least a couple of witnesses that bear witness of you that you're speaking the truth or whatever. And so there's that. They care nothing of the fact that God incarnate is standing before them and declaring to them that he is the way to eternal life. They just got a technical, excuse me, Your Honor, I have an objection to what he just said. It's like you just can hardly believe that they're so utterly lost in their legalism. They're so completely lost. And there is that. But one of the things that I find fascinating in here is Jesus' response in verse 14. He says, I'm the light of the world. They say, you don't have any witnesses of that. Jesus then says this, I bear witness of myself. Here's how. My witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. You go, what? We're talking about your witness. And he says, I know. Here's my witness. It's about my destination. It's about where I've been and where I'm going. And if you know where I'm going, you'll know that I'm right. If you bear witness of the fact that you know where I've been and where I'm going, you'll bear witness of me. Listen, here, those of us in this room right now, and anybody listening online, the bottom line is, do you know where Jesus is going? Do you know where Jesus went? Do you know where Jesus came from? And then here's the next part of the question. Are you following him? Do you know, as a fact, as a matter of fact, that right now, if you should fall over dead, God bless you, then you'd enter right into heaven? You know, I think I've got most of the what do you call them? The people that call you on the telephone, the marketers. I think I'm blacklisted by most of them now. But now they do the robocalls, you know, with the automatic voice, and it sounds almost real, but it's not really real. It's like AI or something. I work through them just so I can get to a live person. Do you own the house? Yes. Okay. You know, and then they get me to the live person, and the guy starts talking, or the woman starts talking, and the first thing I say to them is, can I ask you something? And they say, yes. Of course they're going to say yes. And I say, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And most of the time, that's all you get with them now. They go, it's that guy. It's that nutty Christian guy and all of his other nutty friends that do this to us. They waste our time. They get us to this point. We get them on the line. We think we might have them on the hook. And then they want to know about Jesus. And every now and then, they'll go dead quiet on the line. And I immediately start quoting John 3:16 because I know only got a couple of seconds. God so loved the world that gave his only begotten son, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then goes click. And you go, got it. I got it in there. You see, the thing at the end of the day is, do you know where you've been? Do you know where you're going? They say to Jesus, hey, you're bearing witness of yourself. That's not right according to the Mosaic law. And he goes, okay, I'll answer the Mosaic law in a second because I've come to fulfill it. But then he says, before that, I want you to know something. You don't know who I am because you don't know where I've been. And you don't know where I'm going. You know, it's only the Christian. And by the way, Jesus is the only one that says stuff like this. No other religious leader, no other cult leader, no other organization, no other group has ever said this kind of stuff. Jesus said, listen, you know, I know where I've been and I know where I'm going. And all of my followers, they're going to tell you the exact same thing. We said, look, I know where I'm going. When I die, if I was to fall over dead right now, then I'd go, hi, Lord. I'd stand in his presence. Paul says in Corinthians, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, know that. I know where I'm going. Listen, we're all going to die. One of these days, we're all going to die. Some of us a little sooner than others. But by all account, looking at most of your faces, within the next 40 years, none of us are going to be here. Great. Let's go. That's what I say to the thing. You look at the situation, you go, listen, death is nothing more than a door for me. So get the door, because I'm just passing through. And I've had enough of this life, and I'd like to get home if you don't mind. Now, I'm not saying I'm looking, you know, actively looking to get to that door. Sometimes my wife says I am when I'm driving, but you know, it's only the Christian that has no fear of death. Right? We don't care. We don't care. What do you mean? Come on. Why? Because my Savior conquered death and sin and judgment, and I shall enter into his presence. I know exactly where I'm going because he led the way. He told me where we're going. He led me there. He is leading me on, and I'm going to get home one day. Praise God. You see, this Jesus, you say, Lord, that is so cool how you did that. Because then he goes, listen, if you want to talk about witnessing, and then he just goes right on and picks up the very thought there, you know, in the verses that follow. He says in verse 17, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. And he's going to repeat that. He's going to say that a number of times. For those of you that are note takers, write down the word Father. The title Father occurs 21 times in this short section of Scripture. The word witness occurs 6 times in this group right here. Jesus is saying, listen, you want to talk about my witness? You want to talk about my witness? I'll tell you who's my witness. I'm my witness. And think about this. Who else is going to testify of Jesus? Who else is qualified to testify of Jesus? You say, well, we are as born-again believers. Indeed, we are. Earlier on in John chapter 2, when Jesus was coming into the ministry, you know, starting his ministry, they were all, you know, flocking to the Lord. And then he said, you know, he wouldn't let any man testify of him because he knows what's in the heart of man. It isn't until you're born again that you can actually testify of Christ. So Christ says, listen, I'll testify of myself. And then he says this, God the Father himself will testify of me. How's that for a witness? How's that for my witnesses? You want to put God in the docket? You want to put God in a courtroom? You want to put God up on the stand and say to God the Father, testify on behalf of the Son? Who's gonna question God? You see, that's the beauty of what the Lord is doing here. He comes along and he says, listen, I'm the light of the world. The candelabras that would have been behind him would have been out. And everybody in the city that was there for the Feast of Tabernacles would have been in the millions. They would have seen those lights from a long distance. And they knew they went out on the seventh day. And the Lord waited for the seventh day. And then he stood at the exact same spot and he said, listen, I'm the light of the world. This candle's out. But my candle, my life, my ministry, my witness, my power, my people, their light shall never go out. And that's what we see happening here. And it's a beautiful thing because then the Lord brings in the Father. He brings in himself. He begins to testify of himself. And it's a wonderful thing of how he goes about doing that. He allows us to see who he is. And then he shifts wonderfully. Look in verse 28. All of a sudden, the Lord shifts on him now. And he says, here's the bottom line. Everything else you've heard up to this point has been fine and well. But then in verse 28, he says this. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, now that word lift up right there can mean one of two things. It can mean crucifixion or it can mean resurrection. He can be saying, when they lift me up on the cross or when I lift up, when I leave from Bethany and ascend up to heaven. I'm of the mind it's both. That Jesus is saying here that when you crucify me and when I'm resurrected and ascended, then the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. I am. Cross out the italic he there. It shouldn't be there. And that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please the Father. And in this case, it's the cross. Jesus said, I always do what the Father wants. I always do what the Father wants. I always obey him. I'm always in complete, union with him. And in that obedience, he says, the cross is coming. And then the resurrection. And then the ascension. And if you believe that, it'll change everything in your world. And you will begin to learn to know who the light of the world is. You'll begin to walk in the light of the world. And you will enjoy being in the light. Quick question for you, Christian. Are you walking in his light? Are you walking in the light that God has given to you? The light of the Son of God. Are you walking in that light? You see, we are called as believers to represent our Lord, empowered by the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength, to represent the Lord Jesus. I want you to turn to 1 John with me, all the way over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. John here speaking of these things again. Jesus, the light of the world, the great triumphant over darkness, all darkness, every darkness. He is the great triumph of love expressed by God to the world as the light of the world. And John says for us in 1 John 1, verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Look at chapter 2, verse 7 through 11 there. Chapter 2, brethren, I do not write, or I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Or to put it the way Warren Wiersbe put it, and I quote, the Christian dies in the Lord because he lives in the Lord, but the unbeliever dies in his sins because he lives in his sins. You see, you and I walk in the light. We live in the light, and when we die, we will enter into the light. But those that don't know Jesus live in their sin. They will die in their sin. Jesus said very bluntly, if you do not believe in me, you will perish in your sins. The second time he said it, he didn't use sins plural, as in the sins we commit. He used sin singular, as in the cardinal sin, as in the curse of sin. And he said, if you will not believe in me, you will die in the curse of sin, and you will die in your sins. I didn't say it. He said it. I'm just repeating what he said. See, many of people have a real trouble with that. They say, who does he think he is? Which is exactly what the Pharisees said to him. Who are you? Translation, who do you think you are? You see, Jesus comes and he says, listen, I'm the light of the world, and my people live in the light. Christian, are you walking in the light? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 with me. Ephesians chapter 5, just a few pages back. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 8. Here, the great apostle Paul, moved by the Spirit of God, he writes and he says, for you were once darkness. I want you to notice that in verse 8 of Ephesians 5. He says, you were once darkness. He doesn't say you once walked in the darkness. He says you yourself were darkness. Right? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't need a lot of convincing about that. Right? If I just look at life before Jesus, I got saved at the ripe old age of 22 years old. And you would have thought from about 16 to 22, I was trying to do as much sin as I possibly could before death. It was darkness. It was just darkness. I was darkness. I had darkness in my soul. I felt it. I lived it. I was a dark person, brooding. Brooding in darkness. And you see, when he says, you were once darkness, oh my goodness, it puts a little shudder up the spine thinking of life before Jesus. But then he says, but now you are light in the Lord. Here it is now. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, walk as children of light. Right? Right? Now we're going to give you all a flashlight when you go out the door. This little light of mine. I love that the Word of God always does two things when you read it. It brings you comfort. I am the light of the world. I go, oh, thank you, God. Thank you that you are the light of the world. I'm not the light of the world. Nobody else is the light of the world. Washington, D.C. certainly ain't the light of the world. You know, and God bless that whole group. You know, there's no other light in the world. There's nowhere to find light in the world like this. I'm the light of the world, he says. And I thank you, oh God, thank you there's light. Thank you that there's light. There's light. I can go find the light. I can walk in the light. I can know the light. I can live in the light. You know, in the Revelation, it says that after the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no sun or no moon because the Lamb will be the light of the world. He lights up the world. When we get saved, we're going to walk into the light of the Lamb. And we're going to go, this is some light. You see, that's the picture that is being painted here. And then he says to us, while here on earth, living out our faith, walk as children of light. We're the ones who bring the light into the situations. We're the ones who bring the light into the situations of life. We don't come with our own light. We're like these big, massive reflectors. We get the light of the Lord and it hits off us and it goes flying to people. I was in a waiting room the other day. And I'll close with this. I was in a waiting room the other day, and the chairs were filling up quickly. I was waiting for someone. And it was just a little slow on this day. So mom comes in with two kids, and I'm reading something. And all the chairs are filled up, and the mom's standing over there by herself. I'm just reading away. And then a lady calls one of the children over to her. She sits in her lap, and then the mom goes, sits down, and I look up at her, and she's just glaring at me like, what did you do with your manners? I forgot them. I don't have them, but I'm seeing that I have faltered here. I immediately got up out of my seat, and I said, and I just stood over in the corner like I felt like I should have turned around, put the dunce cap on, and just stood there. Bad, bad, bad guy. No light. I was not light. I stood in the corner going, Lord, I forgot the light. But you know, it was like the Holy Spirit said, but you got up. You got up. You responded. You responded. And so we try to be light as best as we can. Say, Lord, just fill me. God's not asking you to be a light, okay? He's not asking you now. You go out there and you shine your light out there. Get it on out there. He's not saying that at all, because then he would say, you're the punk of the world. Do you know those little punks that you light the fireworks with? You'd be a little smoldering thing like that. Jesus said, I'm the light. I'll get in you, and then I'll blow myself out of you. I will shine myself out. People will see you, and they'll see me in you, and then they'll want to know where the light came from. And you'll say, it's not me, and they'll say, I know. It's that something in you. Who is it? And then you'll share the gospel. Amen? I am the light of the world. The only white light, the one and only, singularly, alone, the light of the world. He's your Savior. Isn't it great to be saved? Father, we thank you for the scriptures this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we but touch lightly on so much that's in here. And yet, at the same time, we find that there we are being searched out by you, by your Holy Spirit. That there again, we find in the searching of him, he does both bring comfort, and that we thank you for our salvation. We thank you, God, for loving us. We thank you that you live in us and live out of us, live through us. We thank you, God. And at the same time, we are then convicted and challenged by the fact what you've called us to, children of light, men and women of light, your kids walking out. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to do that. We need him to empower us. We need him to put the light on. We need him to keep the light on. And so, Lord, bless us, anoint us with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, with our heads still bowed, most of you I know, but I just want to give you, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord and you've never given your life to Jesus, listen, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. If you're here, you've never given your life to Christ. You know people who have. You even have family members who walk with Christ as best as they can. But you yourself have never given your life to Jesus. This is an opportunity for you to do this. If you're here this morning and you want to accept Christ as your Savior, would you raise your hand so that I could pray for you? It's just an opportunity. Wonderful. I see your hand. Good to see your hand. Anybody else, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says today is, because none of us are promised tomorrow. Very good. I'm going to pray a prayer for you. You can repeat it after me, or you can say it in your heart. Dear Father, I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that I've gone my own way. I've done my own thing. But I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. Jesus, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Save me from the curse of sin. Deliver me from sins. I accept you as my Savior. Now use me for your kingdom. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let's all stand.